This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
A little bit of a different change to your listening program this afternoon. Toronto Mayor John Tory now joining us at this time, just for today. We've had a little bit of a scheduling conflict, and the mayor normally, of course, is on the show at 5:35, but has still been kind enough to take some time to talk to us this afternoon. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gents.
Let's start off with this story that we're just catching wind of this afternoon with the cherry blossoms in Hyde Park. Of course, that area has been cordoned off to the public, but there are photos now that are circulating. They show bylaw officers, apparently, and again, this is the appearance of these pictures. I'll let you fill in the details for us, skirting the rules. They're enforcing the rules, but the photos have them all together taking pictures of one another on the right side of the fence with the trees and the cherry blossoms on the other side of the fence behind them. Is there a problem there?
I have the photograph with me. I'm just trying to look to see if, in fact, it was at Trinity Bellwood Park, because I think that's where we had
it. Was Trinity Bellwood,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that's not the point. Here's the point. First of all, they were on the right side of the fence, meaning they were not inside, close to the cherry blossoms. Secondly, if you look at the photograph, they appear to be standing, you know, certainly pretty close to 6 feet apart. They're not sort of arm in arm with each other. And I think the question does arise. Look, these guys and women have a difficult job to do. They've been approaching thousands of people to remind them of the rules about physical distancing and this kind of thing, and they've had mostly very friendly encounters and issued very few tickets, given thousands upon thousands of encounters. But I think, is it the case that we might have best avoided this discussion by not having the photo time outside the fence? Yes. So I think you have to balance the difficult job they've been doing, and doing it very well, in my view, educating people and being friendly and persuasive, as opposed to just handing out the tickets left, right, and center. We'd be better off if that photograph wasn't being discussed, but I think they, I'm sure they figured that out by now.
Does Michael Bryant go too far from the Canadian Civil Liberties Association by saying it's reflective of an abuse of power that's taking place in them ticketing people in circumstances that seem to be driven more by this newfound power that they have, and not all based upon what's required in these circumstances?
Well, I think that's probably a bit of a stretch, to say the least. But having said all that, you know, I look at it this way, and I think I've mentioned this before. When you have a city of 3 million people over a period of 7 weeks, where they've had, actually kept track of more than 10,000, I think 15,000 encounters they've had, thousands upon thousands of encounters with citizens to remind them of the law and the rules, and that they've written a total of 500 tickets, I don't think that sounds like overreach. I think when they've written the tickets, as I've said before, my bet is that most of the people that got a ticket were ones that flipped them the bird or told them to get lost or slightly more colorful language than that, and they got a ticket because they just wouldn't comply with what are rules that I think most people clearly understand and most people have been very cooperative about. So I'm not going to dump on these bylaw officers or the police officers, who I think have done a very difficult job in a very sensitive way during what has been a health emergency the likes of which we've never seen before. And I'll just leave it at that.
The TTC's union today saying they want mandatory face coverings for all users of the TTC starting next week, citing the fact that some businesses will be reopening for curbside pickup. I guess they're expecting more volume. I would love to know your thoughts. They're obviously saying that it's not their decision to make, but it's a decision they'd support if it was to the pro of mandatory face coverings.
We are looking at this issue of masks every single day, because it comes up in a different context in one way or another every single day. Now, the medical officer of health, again, at our news conference we just finished for today, and this is many times she's explained this, that people, if they feel more comfortable wearing a mask, they should understand what they're doing is they're stopping the possibility of them transmitting the disease to somebody else, as opposed to the person who's wearing the mask thinking they're protected from getting the virus, because they're not, really. It could go in through your eyes or your nose or other parts that may not be covered, even off your hand. So the question of whether TTC operators or passengers should be wearing it, at the moment, we're in a situation where she said just now, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, that the most appropriate and safe thing people can do to keep themselves safe is to physically distance, to wash their hands, to not touch their hands to their face, and that is going to be the most effective thing they can do. We are monitoring TTC traffic every day. I will tell you, to the point where I was told today, for example, there were two bus routes where there was a slight elevation in passenger count over last week. So we're watching it that closely so that we can see if normal traffic levels come back and other steps need to be taken. We will have that discussion, meaning as between the public health people and myself and the TTC.
Did you have a meeting today with the finance minister? And if so, how did it go?
No, I talked to him last night at some length, and I had a meeting once. In fact, you sort of now don't realize when somebody asks, did you have a meeting? I also was part of a meeting. All the mayors of the large cities in Ontario met with him virtually this morning. So, yes, we're all on that sort of screen together. I also had a long phone conversation with him last night. The meetings go fine. The Ontario government has been a good partner for cities. We have our needs that we've set out very clearly, especially as regards things like public transit and housing, some revenue shortfalls we've experienced during this pandemic. I also had a good discussion with him about the fact that the City of Toronto needs to be given a solid advance notice of some of these changes that they're making about what's open and what's closed, only because the task of adjusting to that and making rules and guidelines for that in a densely populated, densely retailed city are more complicated than it might be in some much smaller place. And then we discussed as well commercial evictions and the fact that there are landlords that just aren't playing the game. When I say playing the game, I shouldn't even refer to it that way. They are not stepping up and accepting that they have some responsibility, knowing they're in business as well, to help out the shops and restaurants that are their tenants. Because, as I said at the press conference just now, if they don't, and if they just turn their backs on these people and refuse to apply for the landlord assistance program the federal and provincial governments have put forward, they'll find themselves with empty space in a couple of months, and they will then realize what a bad business decision that was not to do something proactive for those tenants.
Did you have any? Is there any surprise? I mean, you sound angry. I heard you earlier, and that's good. I think there's anger warranted on this particular file. But are you surprised that they're not just willing to file for this type of thing to help their tenants out?
Well, yes and no. I mean, first of all, the program had some flaws in it, in that it had groups that just wouldn't be necessarily appropriate. So if they didn't have a mortgage, the landlord, for example, it wasn't as attractive for them to apply as if they did. So there are things like that the federal government, I think, is going to fix. But the real thing to me that's a mystery is it is a good business decision to help your tenant out. First of all, you'd think there's a partnership there. You know, one is landlord and the other is a business that's tenant. But the second thing is, if that tenant goes out of business, that restaurant never opens its doors again, or that shop never opens again, where is the landlord in that scenario? They're sitting with all the other vacant premises and all the other for lease signs up and down the street that they're going to be just competing with those people to find a new tenant. I don't understand why it doesn't make good business sense, aside from the moral rightness of it, to deal with the people that have been your partners and have paid you rent so dutifully for all the months before.
Obviously, so much of what we talk about every single day is numbers, but I did find the comments interesting today from Dr. David Williams regarding community spread responsible for over half of the new COVID-19 cases that we saw today, that being half of 477 new cases, that number, the highest in over a week. And the doctor also saying, it's perplexing to me and makes me wonder if people are being less than consistent in their physical distancing. I can only assume that you hear something like that, and it's probably very frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating, but I'm not a doctor or a scientist, so I don't, I have to trust in the advice. All I know is this, and I'm very comforted by this. The Ontario government's framework said that we would only move to phase one and get into a significant reopening as opposed to the relatively modest events that are happening this weekend with garden centers and then with the curbside pickup after we had 2 to 4 weeks of steadily improving results, as I recall that it said. And then we'd go to phase one, and that would be reexamined before we went to phase two. I think that's a careful, considerate way to do it, and I'll certainly be awaiting seeing the record of the consistently improving results that will have us move on to the next stage, because I think we should be careful about this. It's not just public health that's at stake. It's also, after all the pain that people have been through and all the cooping up and all the denial and all the unemployment and all that, that you just don't want to take any chance. I can't believe we'd want to take any chance to go back to a sort of a lockdown state again, because we didn't do this in a way that was very deliberate and very careful.
Ontario's major sports teams getting the green light today to resume training. There's a hint out there that they might start playing again in the not-too-distant future. As a sports fan and as the mayor of this city, encouraging and welcoming news, yeah?
Yeah, no, I said that. You might even argue that in the interest of public health and people's psychology, that having sports back on TV, having our teams playing again, regardless of where they're playing and regardless of whether there's any fans in the stands, would be really good and buoyant for people to have that experience. I've talked to them all as they've called to get these permissions to use their practice facilities or whatever, and my sense is none of the leagues are that far advanced in terms of actually playing games and figuring out exactly where they'd be played and so on, but they want to take this first step. subject to public health rules. And the Raptors are the furthest advanced, and they've been terrific about saying they will use their practice facility in a way that absolutely respects every public health guideline and rule that's in place. So they will literally, I think, only have two players at a time and two coaches. So there'll be four people that will be just doing some conditioning, because a lot of these guys, as you know, they're very high performance athletes, and they haven't been training. And there was nowhere to train. The gyms and the condos are closed, gym clubs are closed, and the practice facility has been closed.
As we wrap up, you'll be happy to hear I'm wearing an Argos jersey today while we do this interview.
I'm delighted at that, and I just want you to know it's Friday, and it's the Friday of Mother's Day, and I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers out there. And you keep telling me I sound angry. I'm sometimes frustrated and always determined to do a good job, but rarely angry.
Angry's great. There's nothing wrong with angry. I've made a career out of it. What's wrong with you?
You live your life. In fact, you get paid to be angry. You and Jerry.
I do.
And I think it's fantastic. You know, I mean, but I don't get paid to get angry, and I actually don't get angry very often. I mean, in these jobs, the premium's on being calm and deliberate and collected, not on being angry. I realize you probably get a bonus if you get angry, but not.
I get a bonus if I make you angry. Who are you kidding?
Happy Mother's Day,
Ryan. I think you made him angry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Have a great weekend. That is Toronto Mayor John Tory. Just leaves. Just mic drops me.
Yeah. Goodbye, gentlemen.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.